Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Thanks to William Rudolph.
Black women, athletes, black spokesmen. Flo Joe and Jackie Joyner. What's terrific is Jack and Phil, the best black women that ever
Life
did it.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The villain to be the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The villain to be the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
BlackAthletes.com. Yeah, Roll Rod. Thank you, Roll Rod. This was a great, great, great lead in to my show and many other shows on BlackAthletes.com. Go to the website, check it out. Welcome, welcome to Great Great Up and Go, the GLC, as it's well known. 646-727-3649. All right, thanks, Black Athlete Liver, for sponsoring the Cove. Another year, year seven. Welcome to new sponsor, Reality Sports Group of Ralston, Virginia. Go to TV News at GrayandGrayBlackAthlete.com or North19ATT.net. We got TMI Fresh Market, 1500 Louis Street, Elgin, California, 510-235-1233. New England Reformer Magazine with Dorian Way, CEO of Boston, Massachusetts. Winter Afternoon Internet Radio Program, Black News. Former Black News, Sound by Radio Sounds. By TJRadio.com. Midway will be on WVON 1090 AM Chicago. With the New Jason Show, Report Roundtable, www.von.com. Michael Singram has a great show today with a teacher from the Midwest. We're still drinking it all. Every Saturday, 7 a.m. to 1. And 2 to 4 Eastern Time. If you have a weak heart, don't come in there. Don't come in there. It's real and strong. Speak your mind. 718-508-9216. Get your Philly New York group on with the Soul Patrol. We're still drinking it all. My second home, WCM 1450 and WCM Radio Online.com. Sports Talk with Scalper Reggie and Professor Tony Cobb, the G Man, Glenn Brown, and all Bay Coach Lou Edison. All these HBC News, 9 a.m. in the morning on the West Coast. 12 noon on the East Coast. Playing old school music. Get the BD Brown Get Down every weekday. And we cannot forget Little Old the Mission Man every Saturday afternoon. He'll make you laugh and smile with good music of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. With the WCLM 1450 and WCLMRadioOnline.com. All right, and so, over to Virginia. Also, the mighty Oba, Pat Freeman, on WUFO 1080, Buffalo, New York. And also remembering Roy Rogers, CEO of BSN, New York City, New York, and the family of BSN writers. We can't forget 707 nor is it benign, but it's important. Yes, baby.
Hi, this is Kathleen of the Kathleen Wells Show. We've been on a full year, and it's been a fabulous run, and you're going to want to join us. In fact, right now, we're doing a series called Voices from Palestine. My executive producer, Donna Nasour, she's in the Middle East, and she's conducting interviews right now with Palestinians in the West Bank, Palestinians in Bethlehem, Palestinians in East Jerusalem, and those interviews will be played on my show. So you're going to want to join us Wednesday from 2 to 3 on KCAA right here to hear Voices from Palestine. You don't want to miss it. Join me.
And a great voice from New York City, the United Nations, Malala, yesterday said, one book, one woman, one nation can change the world. And Malala, you're a great woman at 17 years old, got shot dead, and still determined to educate Muslim women around the world. I salute you, Malala. Yes, indeed, a great woman, a great child, becoming a woman.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at Pad for Truth on Twitter. That's at Pad4Truth.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Bakken is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, well, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory because I've never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk, sports talk, sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
All right. Join the Cove Caravan, the Soul Patrol, Ad Nation, WCLM AM, on Facebook.com. Go visit the website at blackaddy.com and get different look on sports. You can go away at 646-727-3649. I mean, we'll go on with the show. Give it to the show. With news of the week and other things today. Our thoughts and prayers are with the countries of Korea and China after the tragic plane crash at San Francisco Airport last weekend. There are 6 remaining in critical condition in hospitals in the Bay Area. Another young one passed away yesterday at San Francisco General Hospital, making the number of 3. The Chinese high school students returned to Shanghai yesterday after a week's stay in the Melbourne Hotel. The airline staff at SFO Amigos, the fire trucks, the ambulance had to wait until the fire trucks quelled the fire. Three students were thrown back into the plane after the tail hit the side wall. And they had severe road burns. I headed back to Seoul, Korea yesterday. The question remains, was the autopilot was in gear or engaged or not? The two pilots were, what was the trainer and trainee, both of the first flights on a 777 and their first flight SFO. Bad combination. Runway 28 left was reopened last night, and today flights are running as normal at SFO. We know what SFO is. At San Francisco International Airport. This week is All-Star Week in Major Baseball. And the A's only get one player, Bartolo Colon. While World Champion Giants will send three players, catcher Buster Posey, pitcher Madison Bumgarner, and second baseman Marco Scudero to New York City Field. Mets fans had two players this year, pitcher Matt Harvey and third baseman David Wright. Crosstown Yankees was then Robinson Cano and bullpen ace Mario Rivera. Not a good team, not a good year for New York teams in the All-Stars. Mario Rivera retired at the end of the year, so this is very well swan song in All-Star games. Free agent basketball, here we go. The merry-go-round has begun. Josh Smith moves to Atlanta to Detroit. Three Kevin moves from Northern California Kings to the 30th of the New Orleans Pelicans. I like that name, New Orleans Pelicans. It represents the city. I have an article on that. You gotta check it out on blackaddy.com about teams and names that represent the city. And the New Orleans Pelicans, their new name is a great change. Al Jefferson moves from Utah to Charlotte. O.J. Mayo moves from Dallas to Milwaukee. The Warriors lose wingman Carl Landry to Upstate Sacramento Kings. Jared Jack goes to Cleveland. Oh, God bless him. Arnell Wright moves to Philadelphia to Portland. And Reggae Man, Chris Copeland from the New York Knicks, moves to from the Big Apple to the Midwest and Indiana. Mike Dunleavy will lead the Milwaukee Bucks to go for the Chicago Bulls, but has a big move there. And last, Sean Livingston from Cleveland will move to right out to Brooklyn, New York. Remember, folks, this is the first wave of transfers. The second wave will come before the NBA season begins. Call me at 646-727-3649. You want to go and say what you think about the trades? News of the week. Last weekend, it was a eventful weekend. England is rehabbing, and Andy Murray wins. Oh my God, go back and go back. Ending 77 years of frustration over for Great Britain as the Scotland man wins for Britain. The Bryan brothers, but these guys not lose and win the doubles championship. And women's tennis, it was a collaboration of the Chinese. What do you mean? The two Chinese joined forces. We win the women's doubles championship. Su Wei Xu from Taipei, Taiwan, Republic of China. And Xu Ping of mainland, People's Republic of China, played together. And they played together since they were 70 years old. And they defeat the pair from Australia, Ashley Bartley and Casey DeLaQuia. In the America's Cup, and the America's Cup is losing money left and right in San Francisco. And last week they had one race that was from New Zealand. The Emirates, both from New Zealand. And the Italians continue their protest of the new rules installed by the committee. And they don't get this right. There will be no American Cup in the next month. We will see what happens. Monday, at the basketball turn, our new soap opera. They were bringing back Andrew Bynum. It didn't happen. Bynum went to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And yes, there will be a social dancing in the Meadowlands again this year. And the G-Man signed Mr. Cruz to a legend. In the Hockey Hall of Fame, the doors open to Chris Delios, Scott Niedermeyer, Brendan Shanahan, and all but the Broad Street Billy coach, Fred Zero and Zero Zeros, as we salute the Velvet Flyers. Tuesday, MLB was to suspend 20 players. With the connection of the purchases, Florida drug connection. Really? How is it going to work? You have at least 5 players playing the All-Star game. And Uncle Bud, that's a bunch of you guys a little over there, wanted to suspend 20 players. Look. Until Major League Baseball clearly act with the drug issue is a joke. Now, what about Bartolo Colon, no hitter in the All-Star game, and the A's win? Meanwhile, the National League team has more wins than the American League team, but because Bartolo Colon, who was suspended, that was the American League win. I mean, come on. Just ask the Giants about last year's playoffs of the World Series. And they got a home field advantage. And they didn't take advantage of it, too. 10 players refused to talk about the issue, and you know who leading the way is Ryan Braun. And baseball being baseball. On Wednesday, the Gather returns. The Yankee Stadium. Number two. Shortstop Derek Jeter returns to the Bronx Bombers. He played in the inner against the Kansas City Royals. The Yankees have been squeaking out games all year long, keeping in the race. And this year, Joe Girardi deserves to be manager of the year in the American League. What he's done to keep his team in the race with the injuries, with the poor performance of certain players. All right, moving on. You, Darvish, will miss the All-Star game this year because of injury. I was having an issue with this game counting. No, folks, it's an exhibition game. What Commissioner Bud has done, he has changed the format. And when he takes the format, and really, it's a game that fans vote on. The best players are not going to come to the game. But baseball being baseball, as we all know, Charles D. Burroughs goes back to Detroit. And, you know, Andrew Biden will be going to Cleveland, but Sixers fans are not happy about it because the money spent on Andrew Biden was, he has played but one or two games all year. And we can see the changing of the guard in the NBA. The LeBron era has come. And it would be here until somebody knocks off the Miami Heat. I don't see it coming anytime soon. The Western Conference gets stronger and stronger as Coach Stoddard moves to L.A. The L.A. Clippers. And the Clippers will be a formidable opponent with Rivers coaching. Mr. Blake, he will become a better player. And on other notes, the Hernandez gate, this gets crazy. As days goes on, FSB upvoting. Hernandez's girlfriend now states that Roy was a drug dealer. Now, why was Hernandez hanging out with a drug dealer? And it clouds the issue. And you notice, the New England Patriots went far, far away from Hernandez case. They gave money back or extra jersey for people who wanted to trade in Hernandez jersey. And it's going to be very hard for the state to prove this case. Because there are no eyewitnesses, and they still can't find a murder weapon. Meanwhile, Mr. Hernandez is in jail for trial dates. And we move on to the Zimmerman trial. It went to the jury. It's because our whole country's watching. Mr. Zimmerman did not take the stand. As Zimmerman made too many different statements all along the case, the judge in the back door open And then we get to the lesser case. I hate to say, folks, but you're going to see a hung jury. And America, again, devalues the life of a black young man. And I said it before, I'll say it again. We have to have a national conference on race relations in the United States. While esteemed President Barack Obama is in office, this room completely walks. It will be open season on black men between the ages of 15 and 25 years old. Black men will have a big bullseye in the back of their heads. Immigration rights have been under attack by the GOP, and the GOP is in a bind. In a bind. Because if they go vote against this immigration bill, you know what's going to happen. The Latino population will vote all Democrats in 2014. One is the vote for gay rights. But what about disabled rights, marriage rights? And this is a diversion from the real issue and the real what really happened with it for the economy is the old okey-doke move, which they started again and again and again. And gay rights is one of those okey-doke moves. Yes, people need to have gay rights. Yes, people need to have gay marriage. But why did they deal with the issues? Why didn't the other states are attacking women with the abortion? Planned Parenthood are being closed. And this country's going backwards faster than I can see. And you know what Target says? It's Roe v. Wade next. When that comes to the Supreme Court, which I know will because it's coming, it will be defeated by the conservative Supreme Court. Right back where we started 35, 40 years ago. It's a complete attack on poor people. It's like 1945 all over again. And folks, you need to make your voices heard. You need to speak up. Next year, when you vote, vote your mind, vote your conscience. That's what you have to do. In 2014, 20 or more states have to change hands before Washington gets a reality check. I want Kathleen Wells to WKZAA and see what come in and do a commentary on the General Martin case. If it's 6 minutes long, I hope you enjoy it.
Neil Carr Cabral says, tell no lies, expose lies whenever they are told. A jury of six women will decide whether George Zimmerman was acting in self-defense when he fatally shot Trayvon Martin last year. The six jurors, five white and one Latina, who is black. I've been watching the trial carefully online while watching the voir dire, which is the questioning of the potential jurors, and I noticed that most white jurors expressed a belief that race wasn't relevant in this case. Yet most, if not all black jurors, thought race was very relevant to the case. Also, when the jury pool was down to the potential 40 jurors, there were 10 black jurors, and all 10 were dismissed by the defense. So the question is, if race doesn't matter, why were all black jurors dismissed by defense counsel. Essentially, the defense counsel is saying he doesn't think blacks can be fair and impartial, but he thinks whites can be fair and impartial. But guess what, Attorney O'Mara? History tells us the exact opposite. So here we go again. Round and round we go. The same issue again. We've seen it 1,000 times before, trying to sanitize the case. Until we face our fears about race in this country, nothing will change. Whites don't want to discuss race, but blacks do. Do you see the problem here? And as long as race is denied, more racial animosity will be generated. So, the question, can Trayvon Martin expect justice from a jury that consists of 5 white women and 1 black woman who is a Latina? History tells us no. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm predicting a hung jury or a not guilty verdict. It's not like we haven't been here before. For the Progressive Voices Channel on TuneIn, this is Kathleen Wells. Hi, this is Kathleen Wells for the Progressive Voices Channel on TuneIn. I can't believe what is happening in America today. We should all literally be outraged. And I'm not just talking about the George Zimmerman trial that should cause this outrage, but that's what I'm going to talk about again. In the Zimmerman trial, the prosecution has rested. And what we've learned thus far is Dr. Valerie Rao, the medical examiner, testified that Zimmerman's injuries, not only were they not life-threatening, but also were very insignificant and very minor. And despite Zimmerman stating on Fox News and everywhere else that Trayvon repeatedly slammed his head into the concrete while covering his nose and mouth, medical examiner Rao testified that the use of the word slam was misleading because the word slam conveys the use of great force. However, there are no injuries to substantiate that force. So the question is, why would Zimmerman exaggerate his injuries? What do you think? Another medical examiner, Dr. Bao, testified that Trayvon had no injuries to his right hand and only 2 minor abrasions to 2 fingers on his left hand. And those 2 abrasions on his 2 fingers were so minor that you couldn't even use a ruler to measure them. In addition, Trayvon Martin was right-handed. Is he going to be punching with his left hand? Hey, do I have any fighters out there? What do they think? And let's add to the mix the fact that Trayvon Martin, 5'11", 158 pounds, Zimmerman, 5'7 and a half, 206 pounds, plus he took mixed martial arts 3 times a week. The bottom line is this. Does America want to send a message to black parents, the notion that whites can preemptively target and strike their teenagers? For the Progressive Voices Channel on TuneIn, this is Kathleen Wells.
And
hi, this is Kathleen Wells for the Progressive Voices.
And that's Kathleen Wells. And the point is, look, guys, this is going to be a hung jury. The defense, what they did, and they're thinking of white, 6 white females, and 1 Latina, was an accident. Same with OJ. No accident. This trial is exactly like the OJ trial. And we are in trouble. If it goes the way I need it to go, we are in serious trouble in the United States. Come back in a minute. At this word. Miguel Cabrera could win the Triple Crown back-to-back years. That is unheard of. So, when we come back, we will talk baseball. And, we got an ESPN report. We got the baseball, ESPN report. When I come back, we'll take a break.
Gary, because whites deify their sports heroes.
Yes.
So why wouldn't the mouse look to ascend to rat god status and do exactly this and do exactly the same thing? No, I'm not trying to be facetious here. I mean, that's serious truth. I mean, as I came and I was listening to the end of the Fox promo that you put out there and the Milwaukee game, And two things hit me as I was listening to the last strains of that. Now, we already know that Ryan Braun is in deep doo-doo.
Yes, he
is. For the stuff that you busted him for years ago that nobody else was going to talk about, with all these insiders and all these experts. You know, little old Gary just happens to understand what the brevity of the situation is, and everybody's playing dumb. And then now they all come out the woodwork. Well, did he do this? You know, no,
yes,
they're full of it. And we know, I don't know how Fox will run their commentary of the game itself, but we know they won't say jack about Ryan Braun. You know, and if they do, it'll be to make sure that, well, we're going to say this one thing about it so we can gloss over it, and then it's done. We made our point. Now let's play. Now let's focus on the game. You know,
it's very interesting that Major League Baseball last week said we're going to suspend 20 players.
Mm-hmm.
20 players, five were in the All-Star game.
Now, isn't that funny?
I mean, wait a minute. You have an All-Star game. You have five people who took drugs in an All-Star game. And All-Star game counts? I mean, come on.
Well, see, that's the hypocrisy biting them in the ass. But let's be real. If we look at all the All-Star games for all the sports, if you and I were going to go to winning those games to cover them, which would be the one you'd pick? The Pro Bowl, the NBA game, Major League Baseball's All-Star game, or whatever format that the National Hockey League comes up with?
I would go to the NBA game.
Exactly. Basketball would be first and foremost. And it's not even my favorite sport, but they do a better job of putting it out there because they don't try to make it anything other than what it is.
That's right.
A celebration. It's a weekend. Yeah, you get a chance to strut a little bit. Boom.
Yep.
It's all good.
Yep.
Major League Baseball missed the boat on that a long time ago because of how they were trying to control the game and who they decide their stars are. Now, Ryan Braun was one of their designated fair-haired boys a long time ago.
Yes.
So this is not sitting well with them. And we know before Ryan Braun even came on the scene, Alex Rodriguez at one time was their fair-haired boy because he was supposed to break, you know, that old bad Barry Bonds' record. So, of course, we got to love him until somebody dropped dime on him about the PEDs. And we have to say it that way because they all knew. So we know at some point somebody just decided this was the thing to do to put Alex out on Front Street. Maybe they knew before the rest of us that his body was breaking down and it wasn't projecting like he was going to break the record. And as I say this, this other asshole, we have to say it like it is, Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles, is hitting home runs and it's all good, but he went out of his way to say, well, you know, most of the people I know, they say that Roger Maris is the true home run leader. So I'm going to break his record to show that it can be done naturally.
Right.
Now,
right.
He didn't have to say boo. His home runs were doing the talking for him.
Right.
But now that he's stepped in it, you know, we'll see what happens during the dog days, just how many more home runs he hits. We've seen lots of people get up in there and all of a sudden run out of gas in that August, early September stretch, and the numbers don't show up like he thought they would show up in the first half.
Right. Think about this. A number eight, a can of yards. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Number eight, a can of yards.
Because it's the one question they are afraid to ask. And if we're in that reporter scrum, and the Mitchell Report is there, it's an easy enough question to ask. Is Cal Ripken on that list of 103 athletes that was riding dirty for PEDs? Now, you're not accusing anybody of anything. You can ask, is Gary Norris Gray on the list? You know, all he has to say is no, right? I mean, if he's not on the list, all you have to say is it's a yes or no question.
But Michael,
it ain't got to be we need more information or we can't disclose that. That's bull.
Nobody's asked that question.
Well, when there's supposed to be honor among thieves, Gary, why do you think nobody answered it? That's why they don't want independent media there. That's why they don't want an independent voice there. Because you or I or Tony McLean or Desi Cortez or Eric Graham or any of or the BASN people would have asked, is Cal Ripken's name on the list?
Yep.
You know, that's an easy enough question to ask. They don't have to answer it, but even when they don't answer, they'll be exposing themselves.
Yep.
You know, it will only cause more speculation, and it's not an unfair question.
Well, I'm sending a booklet of articles to ESPN in the mail personally. All my articles about ESPN, I'm sending them to them personally.
Why do you need to send it to them, Jim?
They're
not going to cut the crap. You know that, and I know that.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. But. What I wanted to know is, I'm watching you. Every time you do it, I go right down. Every time you step in it, I go right down.
Believe me, they know you watching them. especially after the last couple of weeks, they know you're watching them. But if I may respectfully offer this instead, you know, there's a reason why they keep coming over to that website. There's a reason why they keep coming over to your show as well as mine.
Yeah.
And it's because they're wondering what the hell we're going to say next.
Yep.
And to ask the question, is Cal Ripken on that list of 103 dirty players, is a fair question. Now, they made a point of only bringing out the 20 people in the biogenesis thing because of who they caught. They only caught somebody that they had already suspected, and they just put themselves in a position where they put themselves out of the reach of the protection of Bud Selig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the only thing that saved Ryan Braun from a 50-game suspension before was supposedly somebody holding his urine sample, some bullshit, you know, for a few hours longer so it wouldn't, you know, so it would be compromised as it was being tested. But that's not the here nor there.
That whole argument, Major League Baseball as samples from 8 years ago.
Exactly. It was a spurious statement on its surface. But I want you to pay attention to what was not said in the exchange between Yankee general manager Brian Cashman and Bronx Vader, a.k.a. Derek Jeter. Derek comes back. He goes 1-for-4 in a Yankee victory, tweaks something, and, you know, the press conference, well, you know, it's confirmed that maybe Jeter rushed back. And we know why. He was, you know, trying to get back to his team and help them keep the thing going after they had kept above water for so long, wind-wise. So, of course, at the podium during the press conference, here's Brian Cashman, very measured in his words. Oh, you know, I love DJ and blah, 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 blah. But this is the same Brian Cashman that told Alex Rodriguez just a few days ago to shut the hell up. And told him to shut the hell up with the blessing of the New York Daily News. So we know this wasn't just him spouting off, because general managers don't do that sort of thing. He had given the Daily News permission to write a trash piece on Alex Rodriguez. That's how you got to call it.
You're being polite. Mr. Cashman,
it's your show. That's why I'm trying to be polite.
My thing is, you're an executive officer. What are you doing using an F-bomb against one of your own players? I mean, that to me is lack of respect, lack of responsibility, and this is ignorant.
It wasn't so much ignorant, Gary, as it was measured. He looked to make sure that he could make an example of Alex Rodriguez and create more public scorn for him. Let's remember, for all the money that the Yankees spent on Alex Rodriguez and are going to spend for the rest of his for the duration of his contract, let's not pretend like the Yankees are crying broke here. You know, if they spent $300 million on Alex Rodriguez, let's just round it off. If they spent $300 million on him over 10 seasons, that's $30 million a season.
Right.
Do you think when actually do the Yankees get that money back for Alex? I would say, given their average gait over the last few years, probably by the end of April.
Okay.
They paid back, you know, between the people coming through the turnstiles, between the money that their cable station is getting, between commercial revenue from selling the games and stuff like that. They've made that money back every April. So even if they bought Alex Rodriguez out right now, that debt would be paid, less than a year, maybe, especially if they make the playoffs, because then that's more revenue because they want them on in prime time, and it is the Yankees. So, no, they're not losing anything. Nobody – Alex didn't strong-arm their ass into making them pay them $300 million. That was on the Yankees, you know.
But the Yankees are the only team in this country who have six different TV networks. And the only I looked up, they had six different contracts.
Well, I mean,
can we fault
the Yankees for being good businessmen? Probably not.
No.
Yeah, I mean, no, listen, I mean, look, we know certain teams just don't have it like that. You know, the Kansas City Royals could have a world squad, but do you truly think they got a nice young team? They look like they're on their way back, but do you truly think that Kansas City is going to, you know, the Royals are going to garner, you know, special sports channels? No.
No.
You know, I mean, that's the point. Chicago, especially the Cubs, is a classic example of that. It's about location and it's about the market and understanding your market. The Chicago Cubs are professional losers. And this is no diss on Cub fans or anything like that, but it's true. The Cub fans are professional losers because they indulge in the losing process and they feed the Cubs, the team, with steady revenue by letting them know, oh, you know, we're behind you, we're Cubbies all the way and all the nonsense. And, you know, the owners say, yeah, we share your pain and whatnot, but we like it when y'all keep coming through the turnstiles because you're suckers. And our franchise is worth almost $660 million, and we haven't won anything significant in over 100 years.
It's very interesting that you bring that point up, because back in the 80s, I remember this clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
81, 82, 83, people were not going to Cub games.
Okay.
In 84, they got Dusty Baker.
Right.
85, 80, they went to the playoffs.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bigger left. There's an 80 since then. So you figure, okay, from 1942 with Larry Wayne Pettit.
Right.
1985, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They go over another 80 years for a little bit again.
At least.
See, that does not make sense. What? Look, you're a Cub fan. You've been raising, you know what, to get Cubs in the playoffs. I bet you one day we have it in New York.
Well, we did have it in New York. No, see, no, that's the difference between, that's one distinct difference between Chicago and New York. New York fans got tired of that crap. I know, because just as you say you can remember, I remember those exact moments when the plane flew over the stadium and said, X number of years of crappy football, we've had enough. We saw tickets burn. They weren't effigy burnings. They threw the tickets away. The Giants were still trying to rebuild the stadium out there, and they were using Yale Bowl as their home team stadium.
Right.
People weren't with that, and they knew it. And then, to make matters worse, during the exhibition season, the Jets, who were playing at Shea, went there and whipped the Giants' ass so bad, it really pissed off the Giants fans. So the Giants fans said, we ain't having this anymore. And the Giants front office was smart enough to listen. Now, love them or hate them, New York Giants have been a pain in the ass, especially to my Eagles, every year since.
Yeah.
And they understood that they had to put a competitive product out on the field, not just a bunch of guys in uniforms hoping for the best. They made sure that when they got in there, they were going to put out a team that was going to win games and eventually get to playoffs and maybe get Super Bowls. Well, the Giants have gotten a few Super Bowls since then, but the fans weren't going to stand for it if they didn't try.
Well, that leads me to Eli Manning has gotten a pass. Elway got a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Eli Manning and Elway got drafted, who they got drafted to, right?
That's right.
And the way the media played that, see, I still can't believe that they gave Elway a pass. He said, okay, you draft me, Baltimore, you draft me, I'm going to play baseball, right?
Yep.
Eli said, San Diego, you draft me, I'm not playing. Wait a minute. What kind of nonsense is this?
Well, to a lesser degree, it's the same type of white male privilege thing that you talked about on my show regarding Tebow. You know, Tebow said to the world, I'm white, I'm going to be a quarterback. He could have very easily settled to be a tight end or a fullback. You know, he wouldn't have been the first quarterback to do it. Pete Banaszak did it with the Raiders. Ed Polak did it with the Chiefs. You know, they just played other positions because they were good athletes,
right,
who wanted to just play football. If it was about him wanting to just play football, he could have changed his jersey from 15 to 85, and everybody would have been all groovy shoes because he'd be a good tight end and maybe a great tight end. We don't know. But we know that whatever he would do, it would be from being something else other than a quarterback, because as a quarterback, he wasn't you know what. To your point about Elway and Manning, they did the same thing. Does anybody remember who Elway was traded for? Well, I do. Chris Hinton, who had a damn good career as a lineman for Baltimore, you know, ended up being the pick. And I think maybe he was borderline Hall of Fame, but that's not my call. The bottom line was, though, that Elway felt, being white, he could dictate to the league where he could go.
Mm-hmm. And my thing with ESPN is, okay, if Elway and May were black, they would make them a new you know what, and they were black.
How dare these arrogant Negroes tell us where they want to go. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
We're used to telling you where to go. That's not happening. That's not happening. And a black quarterback would know that, because they're too busy trying to convince them to play something else. I don't know if Tyrod Taylor is still with the Baltimore Ravens, but I'll never forget how in the so-called year of the quarterback, they wanted to make him the year of the wide receiver because they were on air. This was like a slash reality show, trying to twist Tyrod Taylor's arm into, well, you know, if you go as a wide receiver, you know, slash whatever, offensive weapon, you know, you'll get ranked higher. Tyra, like, forget y'all. To his credit, he stuck to his guns. and that made a big difference.
You know, I'm very disappointed in your boy in Philadelphia.
Not Chip Kelly.
Jaworski.
Oh, Jaworski. Oh God.
I'm not happy because of what he did was he played the ESPN line.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is he put Robert Griffin III.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, the quarterback ratings.
he put Kaepernick and he put Russell Wilson 11, 12, and 13. I said, wait a minute. And then he put Aaron Luck in the top 10. I said, okay.
Of course.
I get it.
Of course. You know that's what they were going to do. They were going to do that anyway. It didn't matter. There are pro quarterbacks that have never had a season like Robert Griffin III had with regard to touchdowns and interception ratio. I mean, five picks to 20 touchdown passes. And it doesn't account for his rushing touchdowns or his yards rushing. You know, you want to try to minimize what he did because they want to give you the excuse that, well, you know, he wasn't on such a good team over there with the Colts, so he was going to throw more interceptions. Like, he was? You knew that right off the bat? It's like, okay. You know, but that's what they make it sound like. Yeah, you know, well, since we know he's going to throw all these interceptions, we'll just give him the benefit of the doubt. If Robert Griffin throws 10 interceptions, it's still great. It still gives him a 67% of passing efficiency, but no, we can't have that. It's crazy.
And speaking about your egos, what are they going to do with quarterback? I am not sold on that new coach. I'm telling you, you win championships with defense. I keep telling people this. And here we go again with this guy from Oregon.
I know, G. Your guess is as good as mine because I wish I knew. Even the so-called talking heads in this area, they don't know. Because Chip Kelly is playing a dangerous game as I see it.
He is.
He's messing with the heads of everybody. And the only one who really knows his system to any great degree is Dennis Dixon because he played under him. But Dixon, all of a sudden, is lost in the conversation. They don't want to talk about him because they don't bring him up. They're just saying, yeah, you know, he's camp meat and he'll be a third stringer, if anything, because they're going to keep Barkley, Foles, and or Vic. But it's not an and/or situation with Vic. You know, quarterbacks need reps. When a quarterback knows they're number one, they know what they got to go in there for. And it's as if they are trying to do to Mike Vic what they wanted to do to him when Kevin Cobb scrub ass was here. They were hoping that Mike's value would lose even more value sitting on the bench as a backup to Kevin Cobb. Because remember, once that label is on you, it's impossible to shake off.
He
would be a backup in the same way that he would be a convict. You know,
yeah.
Mike Vick could throw for 50 touchdowns over the next season, and they would still say he's a convict, and he did bad things to Lassie. You know, so that's the kind of crap I'm talking about. Kelly is not helping the situation any. And the last time we had a so-called genius come in the league, you know, the old ball coach Spurrier, the NFL team owners wanted to make an example of him because he was doing all these press conferences about, oh, no, this is going to be easy, y'all. Shit, we got this covered. And they gave the high sign and commenced the whipping Steve Spurrier's behind every time they won it.
What is it? What happened to Vince Young? The same scenario is going on with Vince Young. I see a repeat performance with it. And I know Michael Vick is much better than people. What's going on in Philadelphia?
This is co-op. It's called co-opting his career. Now he's already been guaranteed and been paid $3 million to stick around. Although I'm sure they would have loved to have gotten rid of him. I mean, I say they. I'm talking about Eagle Management.
Yeah.
Gotten rid of him so that they could sink or swim with Foles. And now that they figure they picked up Barkley, he's like, oh, he'll be a franchise quarterback. I don't know where. I know it shouldn't be Philly. And of course, if I'm wrong, I would be more than happy to have some red wine to go with my crow. But I don't think I am. And I think this is one of these cases where Chip Kelly is pushing too many buttons with this, and I really doesn't come back to bite him in the ass. But he's ready for a bite in the ass because, look, if the Eagles go 4-11, he's not going to lose his job. You know, they'll say, well, you know, it's the old regime, and they'll get stuff out, and mistakes were made, and blah. You know, they'll make any excuse, and then the Eagles will be on point. They'll be supposedly on track to do whatever they need to do.
I want to tell you something a little bit about the New Jersey Devils. Ilya Gorbachev all of a sudden retired from hockey. What's up with that? What's going on, man?
It's a good question, but obviously he has his reasons. I mean, you don't just leave over $75 million on the table now. You know, my old ass, I'd be out there working with Zamboni. I'd try to get paid. But for whatever reason, Kovachuk's leaving, and that's going to put the Devils in deep doo-doo because they need a sniper. And I don't know if they've got a legitimate one that has the offensive skill and can do dirty work sometimes, as Kovachuk did.
Steven was the ultimate center with Steven. I love that guy. I think he was one of the best.
He is, but when you waited to, I mean, Stevens is, his number's retired. Do you really think somebody's gonna, you know, retire Ilya Kovachuk's number from New Jersey? No, of course not. You know, but the Devils have an identity, which is an advantage they have over most teams in the league. You know, you're playing for the Devils. People are going to say, all right, I understand they're a system team, blah, 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 great goaltending, all of that. And the moves that the Devils made, even without Kovachuk on paper, are serious. To get Corey Schneider from Vancouver, when even Roberto Luongo thought he was leaving Vancouver, was an amazing pickup. I mean, I don't know how good he is because I haven't seen enough of Corey being on the East Coast here when he's started the bulk of most of his, or not all of his career games.
He played very well. He has a lot of Martin Brodeur style because he does butterfly and sometimes he does straight up. So you don't know what you're going to get with him.
But he's a battler. And the fact that he would run and vie for the one spot with Luongo being a national netminder for the Olympic team and all of that, that's a big deal. So clearly Lou Lamoriello, who we know knows talent, should get credit for this.
I can't wait to get dirty again. I'm like, come on. I mean, that's my sport. But I don't know why I was like, I can't for anything else. I can't, you know. But I was a little boy. I was the only one in the old school with hockey.
Well, you know, I think I know why, or I'm sensing why hockey is becoming more popular. Well, first, let's look at the other sports. You know, baseball is what we see as it is. You know, they're taking performance-enhancing drugs, and they're all lying about it. And even the press is lying about it to cover their lie. You look at football. Football's become more wussified. You know, don't touch Tom Brady. You know, don't fart on Brett Favre. I mean, on Douglas.
Mm-mm.
And definitely don't breathe on Drew Brees. You know, so you can't do anything to the quarterbacks. You know, you look at basketball, you know, it's okay. But there's not a real element of excitement there. And for me, the politics of basketball has changed forever with how they, meaning the Mouse, went after LeBron. So you look at hockey. Hockey is the only sport on an upward tick. You've got talent spread out across the NHL map. You have great teams. You have good teams. And you've got not-so-good teams on the precipice of being great teams. So, really, everything is looking up for hockey. And you consider that, excuse me, aside from NBC's coverage, whatever Fox Sports Channel might do when they go online in August, it's all gravy. The NHL only has to keep on doing what it's been doing. You've got realignment. You've got more natural rivalries in set in stone. If all you need now is the same kind of nationwide coverage that the NFL gives. So when it's hockey day or hockey night, you have your East Coast game, Devils Flyers. You have your Mid-Coast game, your Midwest or Mid-East game, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, whether that's the Winnipeg Jets against the Calgary Flames or what have you, or the Dallas Stars versus the St. Louis Blues, there's your Midwest game. You know, you go out west, San Jose Sharks, Vancouver Canucks, boom. That's a great day of hockey.
Well, one question.
And you can delineate the highlights and all that in the same manner as you do the football.
Do you think that I've been saying this for 2-3 years. Do you think that the Phoenix Coyotes move to Seattle? I don't know if they move to Seattle.
I don't know. You know, they were headed for either being a second team in Toronto or Hamilton, which is right next door, about 40 minutes up 401, or whether they go to Seattle or not. Seattle at least knows, after feeling the pain of the Sonics leaving, that they need something in there. Now, the Seahawks are on the rise and all of that, but Seattle's never been synonymous with hockey, although they've got an IHL team there, or used to have them with the Thunderbirds. Seattle having a hockey team would set up a natural rivalry with the Vancouver Canucks. They would also be in position to play teams like Winnipeg, and Winnipeg would cover that whole area that would encompass Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and areas like that, in the prairies. You know, you got Edmonton, Calgary. You know, the realignment made sense for a lot of reasons. You stick Seattle back in the mix, and I think it also facilitates them getting the Sonics back again in some fashion or form, whether it's the Sonics that they paid for the rights for all their stuff, or whether it's a new name or new team. Seattle understands, but I still believe that they felt they did the right thing in not trying to get robbed by the NBA. You know, whatever Oklahoma City did for its Thunder, the renamed Sonics, you know, they did so wanting to be part of the big picture. You know, there was nothing that you could equate with OKC. Now it is. They've got a basketball team. They might have minor baseball teams and minor other teams, but this was major. This is their team. You come to here, it's a basketball city because the Oklahoma City Thunder is an NBA team and not some, D1 school, or rather D1 development team in a city that's craving for some sort of identification.
You know, I got my riding range, man. Hey, Cowboy, you there?
Uh-oh. Hey, gentlemen, appreciate it. I'm supposed to be a Big G and Dr. Evil. And I say that with affection because I let the audience know by the great upper code that these two great individuals, these two Nazarene deacons for defensive justice, will be on Sports Talk the last 2 weeks of August, so we're looking forward to that. But I just want to add to the mix, if I may, when it comes to these professional franchises, the Washington football team, of course, we know, has a training camp here in Richmond, Virginia, which will begin up in a couple of weeks. And the sad thing about it was that our mayor, the Reverend Dwight Jones, used taxpayer money earmarked for education helped to build this facility, which only be used for 1 month. Now, for the next 11 months, it's going to sit dormant. Now, you know, Mike, on your show, especially a great job with Mrs. Crawford, and we see the education system, again, being torn down. We see teachers are the villain because they're a union, and we see the same people. And I thought it was very interesting that she made a comment that it was 700 kids in one private school and then 700, and should we say, the what they call the voucher system. All mm-hmm. I'm saying, again, education, again, has taken a back seat to athletes. Why? Because of the, not million, but the $1 billion in the coffers of college. And once the college leaves, it filters up to pros. And my question for the panel, isn't it amazing that they'll do so much to put the new slave, and I said it, the new
that's right,
crop,
as it is.
The
that's
new
right.
slavery.
Hey, hey.
Athletics is the new slavery, and I'll keep pushing it. I'm proven wrong. I don't care about a damn free education, apologize, G. I don't care about the lies they tell. But when Joe Paterno and those racist people filth up there used the money for athletics to build how many education facilities up there, but yet they have a criminal element that comes up there that terrorizes the students. Something wrong there, but you see Alabama and Penn State with their rap sheets.
Sure.
What we got? Look at Oakland. Oakland is breaking their neck trying to save the A's, the Warriors, and the Raiders. Why?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never mm-hmm. Oakland school district is going broke.
Yep.
Well, see, the problem I have with it again, that they infiltrate the high school. It's just like when the I Am March, when Dr. King was trying to fight for the trash man, and he was infiltrated with the people, the invaders, who went and banged up and tore everything. Mike had talked about it before. In high school now, you would think these kids are going to the damn pros. They're putting on hats and having all this craziness. And, Mike, remember we talking about the combine? Kids have already going to the colleges, and they run the damn combine only for the coffers of ESPN.
They've poisoned the whole premise now, because if there was any inference that there was a speck of truth about amateur status, you know, that's long been trashed in college, and now it's going to get trashed in high school ball as well. You've got kids as young as being in fifth grade given pledges or verbal pledges to gain scholarship at schools. Not because they're versed in astrophysics, not because they've understood the bell curve and can split atoms with their minds and all that other nonsense. You know, it's because they can dribble a stupid ball. You know, and the feeling of the physics of the sport that, you know, notwithstanding that we know require intelligence, we're not dissing on them about that, but we see where the priorities lay. And when you see the priorities fall like that, it's very scary. Here's a little footnote that came in while we were airing earlier on Soul Tree Radio and The Raw. Apparently, all of the people who supposedly accused Jerry Sandusky of sexual molestation have all agreed to settlements out of court. Now, they haven't said how much they're going to get, which I'm sure is going to stay disclosed. But think about that. Think about that. They had to make restitution with all these people who came forward and said, son of a bitch, did something to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
Penn
State's keeping quiet about it. You know, the Big Ten ain't going to say nothing about it. You know, the Mouse ain't going to say nothing about it. So, quietly, they look to bury a story that has worldwide importance, because what's being settled at Penn State also reflects on what's not being settled on the other side of the world in the Vatican, where you've got proof or evidence that people in the Vatican were into things like kiddie porn, and they want these people to come clean, but yet they keep getting stonewalled. It's like we know what poisons the system, and how we react to it says what is pure about us. We can't have kids in high school put in situations where they think dribbling a basketball is more important than getting a good education.
Amen. Amen. Preach, brother. Preach. Okay.
The aerobatic is an iceberg. Iceberg is gonna bury the NCAA. This Albanian, I believe he's gonna win this game. If he does, the NCAA is in trouble. Because whoever go up again, all those guys are in those EA games.
Well, he should win. He should win, Gary, because the NCAA just made a big mistake recently, which I feel should kick it in Ed O'Bannon's favor for the long run. What they did was their reaction to the Aaron Hernandez case. They went in, took his image out of EA Sports,
yes,
and had to address reparations for what was done earlier. You weigh the O'Bannon thing against the Reggie Bush situation, the A.J. Green situation, the Terrell Pryor situation, countless other names. But the most damning thing there was when they took Aaron Hernandez's image out of NCAA 14 because they were so eager to distance themselves from Hernandez, they got busted because their own technology proved that at any time Gary Gray from Saluki from some Southern Illinois, Reggie Howell from Virginia State would have had their likenesses on players on video games. And they found out that Reggie stole some chickens last night from a hen house.
No, you found out?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I smoked that chicken all the way on the other end of the phone. But now that they took Reggie out of the mix to let him know that you're not going to be on the field when Virginia State is playing in the video game is proof of how easy they had mastery of the technology. So there's no way they can say that there's no feasible way that Ed O'Bannon or anybody else on their electronic games could not have been compensated for the work that they did.
But see, this is my thing, Mike. I understand what you're saying, but first thing they're going to say is when you sign for that scholarship, you have signed your rights away. And see, that's the little fuzzy line that people really need to start looking at. And especially, I'll kind of throw this in the mix if I may. Okay, if they try to say, well, we gave you a free education, and then the little fine print where you got to get that big magnifying glass, they're going to start putting in there, you have signed all your rights to likeness because of the scholarship.
Yes.
Your thoughts on that?
But see, it doesn't even matter because O'Bannon is really a test case. There are guys from other teams, other athletes, who maybe are waiting to see if the shoe drops on the O'Bannon deal, that will probably go right after them because they'll know the NCAA really doesn't have a legal leg to stand on. Remember, they're supposedly a not-for-profit organization. So
that's a lie.
We know it's a lie, but they have to prove it's a lie in court. Just like EA Sports would have to prove that there's no way that the technology would be so accessible as that we would have difficulty with, you know, compensating all these athletes. You took nothing at all to pluck Aaron Hernandez out of your database for your little game. So just like you took him out, you could plug his ass back in. If he was found, if somehow he was found not guilty,
you're right.
You know, you could put him right back in. And it was like,
okay.
Oh, our bad. We're sorry. No, y'all ain't sorry yet. Because now you're going to pay my ass, and that's the real issue behind the O'Bannon thing. They knew what they were doing. They just didn't think anybody would speak up on it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent point.
Man, you got to bring it in the news, man. Bring it in the news. Let's go.
it's what they would call in the military a cluster fluff. You know it and I know it. They all knew.
Amen.
They all knew. We could debate this for hours as to how wrong it is and how badly player A is getting the shaft over player B, but it still comes back to everybody knew. You know, it's not that Gary isn't a good journalist, you know, but Gary didn't do anything that who's that asshole, Tim Jurkshen or whatever his name is, and you know, any of these other Buster, whatever his name is, you know, Buster Brown. They know.
Yeah.
They all know. And they were all outed by Jose Canseco.
Because
Jose knew. And if Jose can, you see it, we sure as shit can see it too. So we know they can see it. So if they all knew, then it's really not an issue of what they're trying to do, G, is whether or not they can convince the listening audience and the viewing audience to swallow their BS about them really trying to do something.
But it's like they don't move until Congress. I believe Congress is gonna get in their behind again.
I would agree.
They won't do anything until Congress says, okay, enough. Hey, you notice first time they didn't do anything at all until President George W. Bush did anything. Which is very ironic because George W. Bush owns the Texas Rangers, who had the most people to drugs.
It's true. It's true. But when you look at everything, this is not something that has a solid foundation or even a solid facade. The owners knew because the owners had to tell the general managers that they hired,
we need
asses in the seats. So if PADs will do that for us, hooray for us. The general managers told their players that we want them putting out, we want them performing, so they passed it down to their coaches, you know, maybe look the other way, we don't care. If we can find somebody hitting home runs, because chicks dig the long ball, and those who pay for our tickets dig the long ball, that's what we do.
Right.
Coach passed down to the manager, so the manager passes it on to his players. I just want you to get out there and execute and play good old country hardball. He don't care how you get it done. He just cares that you get it done. And those people in the locker room that write about what happened on Sunday afternoon or whatever, they know what's going on, because if that kid could see a bottle of androsterone in the locker, you know, the others did too.
Yep.
So we're not trying to be cute. And if you happen to be one of those who travels with the team, you're flying with these guys. You're taking the trains with these guys. You're busing with these guys. You know what time it is, because even if it's only one that you get close to, you're in their world. And if they let you know in no uncertain terms that something's off the record, or you can tell that something's already off the record because you're good at your job and you've observed everything, you don't need all of that. You know. And that's why this is not going to ever get resolved, because now it's about protecting each other and their own CYA situations, respectively, in the places in the cities where they work at. But across the board, you know, NFL had substance abuse policy in place for a long time. You do this, you get this. And it was never something that everybody squawked and screamed about.
Right.
Baseball, there was some squawking. Basketball, whole nother story. Bottom line, everybody in the loop that's supposed to be in the loop knows everybody, or at least can. If an assumption is made about everybody taking illegal drugs or performance-enhancing drugs, they're all in lockstep. They agree. They're all part of the same damn conspiracy.
I'm gonna get ready, close up the COVID, get ready, get out of here. So come on, and get your plug and get your show on the air.
Well, is the cowboy there?
Cowboy,
all right. Well, my shameless plug is for my radio show, Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Comes on 2 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. Daylight Savings Time. Every Saturday, we have the Hump Day Special, Wednesday evenings from 9 to 11. You can check us out on Facebook and our back shows on YouTube as well. And my first book, Imitation and Life, is for sale on Amazon.com, and it's on Kindle as well. So a lot of the subjects that we talk about of sports, politics, and music, my take on them, using movie quotes as the punchlines, if you will, to many of the situations that were brought up in the book.
You know, Thursday night, we were bowling against the first place team.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, I'm thinking about your theme song, right? we get to the ninth frame, and we're down by eight. I think, okay, speaking of this, their anchor bowler bowled three strikes in a row and won the game. The first game, I said, oh my God.
Yep.
He bowled a 238 the first game.
Second game
comes home, get down to the ninth frame again. Here we go again, right? And play down. The third bowler bowls a 225. I said, oh, man.
Looks like he's shy one horse, bro.
Yeah. The third game, I bowl a 180, right? Didn't matter.
Uh-huh. Right.
They won again.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, I'm thinking, there you go.
Oh, well.
Yep.
Damn, bro.
That was the most exciting three games. I never lost three games like that. We're in every three games, in all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good match. Even though we lost all three games, it was still a good match.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, thank you for coming on board.
Thank you for having me, brother.
Bring it noise. As always, Michael will be on for me every Saturday. And you gotta go check out the Wednesday evening show. It's great. And Dr. Brett with it. Bringing the knowledge. And the black history of black schools in the South. Check it out. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right. Michael Lewis Ingram, Joe Drake on the Raw. Alright, PGA. Jordan Spieth wins the Breyer Classic by 2 strokes. The men are playing in my college state of Illinois with John Deere Classic today. And there's also the Madison, Wisconsin. Madison, Mississippi, excuse me. It's Anderson Smart's championship. And no, Tiger will not be there. He's waiting for the British Open championship in Southern Scotland on the 18th of July. This weekend, the women are in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada, for the Manulife Financial LPGA Classic. The PBA is the U.S. Open next week in Columbus, Ohio. The big tournament, the first big tournament of the year. In tennis, the men are very busy with 3 championships. The All-Player Tennis in Rhode Island, the Mercedes Cup in Germany, and the Swedish Open in Bastad, Sweden. Take a look at this. Listening for viewing these tennis matches. The Formula One, the German Grand Prix, and the Germans are happy with their own one. Sebastian Vettel won, the Red Bull team. I never had 2 weeks off before they go to Belgium, and the Belgium Grand Prix. Jimmy Johnson wins the NASCAR Coca-Cola 0-100 at Daytona Speedway. Matt Kenseth wins the Subway Firecracker 250 Friday night in the Poconos. As the Grassy team, 1, 2, and 3. Scott Dixon winning in Pennsylvania. They're just doing the New Hampshire Camp World RV Sales 301. And Matt Gibson looks like a win this one, as he's in the lead with a caution flag. As he's in the lead, Matt Kenseth, the New Hampshire with 2 laps to go. There we go, goes off the air. Go to our website at blackaddy.com. Our news advisor, Virginia Reality Sports Group in Virginia. WCLM 1458 Calvary Ready. WCMOnline.com, the RSO of Richmond. Michael Ingram, Total Radio on the Raw, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the Badger Bad, thebadgerbad.biz, Raleigh, North Carolina. And we can't forget the mighty Obop on WUFO. 1080 Buffalo, New York. Remembering the late, great Roy Rogers, BSN, New York City, New York. Doreen Wade, New England former CEO, Boston Massachusetts, and Giovanni Robert Morgan, and Alexandria, California, as we end up. We'll go out of here with the great song of BSN.
Life through the eyes of a black guy flick. The thrill of it to be the agony of the beat. Life through the eyes of a black guy flick. The thrill of it to be the agony of the beat.
Now we have the spirit that can never give in, with a heart that runs stronger than 10 average men. It's something within, I was born to win. You can't hold me down, I'm a black champion. We had to fight for equal rights, on and off the court, and at the turn of the century, dominated sports. For the love of the game, endured the pain, and forced through segregation, had to make a change. That dropped him, first black man to get a deal, in the major league, knocking home runs out the field. Let the whole lead in RBIs and steals, in the first year, MVP, rookie of the year. Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and Vinny Mendoza, paved the way for Reggie Jackson, King Griffey, and Sammy Sosa. Half of all MVPs in the history of baseball since black athletes. That's why we excel on our feet, because we compete mentally, physically, and spiritually. So all I want to do is thank my God. We worked so hard, came so far, black athletes.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Now, basketball is my favorite of all sports, because there's so many black athletes that ever bless the court. Will Chamberlain must be the most famous. Scored 100 points in the game, and no wonder who the same. Elgin Baylor, Bill Russell, and Connie Hawkins. This is the best to play the sport. Dr. J and Michael Jordan played above the rim when they score. Hawks in the air when they score. They move like never before. So all my black athletes, entrepreneurs, open up the door. You deserve a round of applause. The pink skin, the grit iron, the bodies be colliding. And the men must be made of iron. Where would football be without the great Jim Brown? Or the players breaking tackles and running for touchdowns. But if you ever had to stop them, it'll be crushing. Because he still holds the record for the most yards rushing. Smooth and quick moves like dancers. And his fifth title of dancers. Great Barry Sanders. All I want to do is thank my God who worked so hard. Kept so far, black athlete.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the
the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat.
Jack Johnson, a heavyweight champion in 1910, fought the best of American men. And the fourth of the century took place on Independence Day, and the first was 100 G's to pay. The most eagerly awaited event in American history, Jack Johnson versus Jim Jeffries. Nothing Frederick Douglass ever did, nothing Booker T ever did. Shocked the world like this did. The great white hope came tumbling down, beaten and bruised, knocked out in the 15th round. Muhammad Ali, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time, heavyweight championship a record 3 times and successfully defended it 19 times. The third youngest, the third oldest heavyweight champion. His career spans 7 presidents.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat.
Charlie Stanford, the first black man to win the PGA, made it possible for Tiger Woods to play today. Althea Gibson, the first black woman to win the Wimbledon. Arthur Ashe, the Williams sisters, we loved them through all the ups and downs and tribulations. Bad times we faced it and overcame the situation. The Owens won 4 gold medals in the 36th Olympics, breaking records in 3 different events. And all the black women began to dominate. In track and field, they were great in 1948. And a team full of black women won 6 medals and represented in the 52 Olympics. Thanks to William Rudolph and Elise Coachman. Black women, athletes, black folkmen. Flo Jones and Jackie Joyner. What's terrific in track and field? The best black women that ever did.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. To fill a victory, the agony of defeat.